I want you to open your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. This passage of Scripture is not going to be new to you. First Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to read verse 12, verse 13, verse 26, and verse 27. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. A few weeks ago, I preached a message from this passage entitled, Palestinian Christians Suffering Alone and Ignored by the Body of Christ. If you go to our webpage, libertyfellowshipmontana.com, you can see that message. It's online right now, and you can watch that. You can share that. So that message I took from this same text. This message is going to be a little bit personal because of the influence that Liberty Fellowship has around the world. And so many hundreds, perhaps thousands, of our brothers and sisters in Christ who watch Liberty Fellowship live in persecuted countries. And I'm beginning to hear more and more from them as they are expressing their personal experiences while at the same time expressing appreciation and love for us, which I find incredible. That people who are being killed and maimed and mutilated, imprisoned and tortured, have the thoughtfulness and spirituality and the love to say, I'm praying for you. Most Americans wouldn't be thinking about anybody but themselves when they go through, you know, when they go to a dentist with a toothache. You know, everybody else is eliminated from their thought processes when anything painful comes to them. But there's a whole bunch of people around the world that are suffering in ways that we cannot imagine, who have the character and the compassion and the spiritual love of Christ to be able to say in the midst of their suffering, we're praying for you. That's unheard of in the United States. So some of the things I'm going to share today are going to be along these lines. What the U.S. government has done and is still doing in the Middle East against the Palestinian people is not only an affront against international justice, moral justice, and the laws of the United States. We're violating our own laws. It is an affront against the teachings of the Word of God and an attack upon Christian people and the Christian faith everywhere. And incredibly, this is done with the full support and cooperation of so-called Christians in the United States, especially among premillennial dispensationalists within the Baptist, Pentecostal, Assembly of God, Charismatic, and all sorts of independent Bible churches. In mass, these denominations in particular fully support the genocide of the Palestinian people, including our brothers and sisters in Christ that live in that land. In short, any Christian who is a disciple of the prophetic doctrines of Schofield futurism, they're all a bunch of bloodthirsty warmongers. With that in mind, I would encourage you online, if you haven't already done so, to watch the message I preached a few weeks ago and called Schofield Prophecy, Wrongly Dividing the Word of Truth. That's on a DVD. We have that available. We preached it just a few weeks ago. Go to libertyfellowshipmt.com and you will find that message. Share that with as many people as you can. Schofield has done more to bastardize the teaching of biblical prophecy than any other single man to ever live in the New Testament age. He has completely beguiled and bewitched about 80% of the evangelicals of America and other parts of the world as well. And what we are seeing in Gaza and the West Bank and other places around the world is the legacy of C.I. Schofield. This is his legacy. This is what his prophetic teachings have produced. Produced a generation of bloodthirsty, warmongering, so-called Christian people who want to slaughter people around the world, including their own brothers and sisters in Christ, who are of another skin color and of another race. And they want to eliminate in favor of a faux Israel that doesn't even exist, but is a tool of Antichrist in order to bring war, havoc, and destruction upon the planet. So be sure you get that DVD. While Donald Trump is showing genuine intentions to put a stop to the war in Ukraine, and I give credit where credit's due there, he is showing every intention of continuing and even escalating Israel's genocidal war against the Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank. If only Trump would say to Benjamin Netanyahu what he said to Zelensky in the White House. Here's the door. If only he would say that to Netanyahu. Of course, he never will, because like most of the politicians inside the Beltway, he is owned by the Israeli lobby. Yes, sir. Did any of you see the satanic 35-second AI-generated video regarding the future of Gaza that Trump posted on his Truth Social page? How many of you saw that? Most of you, good. By posting that video, Trump brazenly put his blasphemy and idolatry on display for the whole world to see. Everything about that video was blasphemous and idolatrous. How any Christian can support this idolater is beyond me. Write me all the letters you want. I'm telling you the truth. And one day, history will confirm that Chuck Baldwin told you the truth. Donald Trump is as much of an Antichrist, small a, as much of an Antichrist figure as Joe Biden, Barack Obama, and G.W. Bush. But Trump trumps them all with his deep, dark desires for not just applause, but adoration and worship. In his first month of office, remember that, in his first month of office, Trump delivered over $12 billion of military aid to Israel. In his first month, $12 billion in military aid to Israel. including 1,800 2,000 pound bombs. They call them bunker busters, but really what they are is baby busters, because they drop them in heavily concentrated urban areas and kill masses and hundreds of people with one bomb within how many hundreds of yards radius. And that's all they're designed to do, is just to destroy a massive number of human life in densely populated areas. And these are the bombs that they've been bombing Gaza with over the last 15 months. And now Trump has just restocked their depleted supply by giving them 1,800 bombs. Well, if he's a president who wants to be known as a peacemaker, what's he doing sending $12 billion of military aid to this apartheid genocidal state? And what's he doing sending 1,800, 2,000 pound bombs? There's only one thing you can do with those, and that's kill thousands and thousands and thousands of more people. Yeah. Donald Trump is a fraud. Amen. Philip Girardi is a former Army intelligence officer, former CIA officer, who wrote the following. Congress and the White House have clearly become Israeli-occupied territory, as Pat Buchanan once colorfully described the U.S. government. And there's more, lots more, but some of the developments are more interesting because they are impacting domestically on the United States and on the constitutional liberties and rights that are under siege, as the Israel lobby and Team Trump seek to suppress any criticism of the Jewish state and or of the illegal activities carried out by its supporters through their corruption of government at all levels of the United States. Attorney General Pam Bondi went over the top when she called Israel our greatest ally in the world in an interview with Fox News. Interestingly, apartheid war criminal Israel is in fact neither a democracy, nor a friend, nor an ally, but when the blind are leading the blind, anything might well pop out of one's mouth, particularly when it's not connected to a functioning brain that actually has a conscience. Amen. Over at the FBI, effusive comments also seem to be the general rule with Dan Bongino, the newly appointed deputy director of the FBI. I've slowed down for this because I want you to hear this really plain. When responding to a question about what might be the causes that are dear to his heart. So that was the question. What might be the causes that are dear to your heart? Deputy Director of the FBI. Here was his answer. Quote, Israel, defense of Israel. He's the Deputy Director of the FBI. This is a United States law enforcement agency. What's dear to his heart? Israel. The defense of Israel. Show me in the Constitution anywhere where it's the job of the FBI to protect a foreign power. Right. It's not there. That gives you insight into the depth of the indoctrination and the power and influence of the Israeli lobby within our government. But it's not just persecuting and slaughtering Palestinian Christians. The U.S. government is also a major player in the overthrow. This is back to my notes, not Giraldi. It's not just persecuting and slaughtering Palestinian Christians. The U.S. government is also a major player in the overthrow of the Alawite Muslim leader of Syria, Bashar Assad. Let me explain just a little bit about this. Because Christians everywhere are applauding the downfall of Assad's government. And even some are saying this is biblical prophecy. Now, everything that happens that they think helps Israel is biblical prophecy. That's not biblical prophecy. Not in any shape, manner, or form. And if you've been watching my Israel packages, my prophecy packages, you surely understand that by now. Along with Turkey, Erdogan he's the guy that sees himself as the man who is called by Allah to reestablish the Ottoman Empire. That's really what he believes his life is called to do. That's what he's all about. Anyway, we'll talk more about that later. Along with Turkey, Israel, Great Britain, the United States funded, provided intelligence, weapons, training, etc., to ISIS terrorists to overthrow the Assad government. You understand, right? The Assad government was overthrown by ISIS terrorists. You remember G.W. Bush? We've got to destroy ISIS. The war on terror. So we sent young American men and women to the Middle East to fight and die fighting ISIS. Fast forward to 2024 and 2025. Now the same government, the federal government of the United States, that sent our young men and women to die fighting ISIS terrorists is now giving them CIA support, giving them military assistance, giving them technical support, surveillance support. The United States government is helping to assist and fund the same terrorists that 20 years ago our young men and women were sent to die to fight. So now ISIS is in charge in Syria. Now, say whatever you want about Bashar Assad. The Assad government, Bashar Assad was an Alawite Muslim. Now, I know when you start getting into these discussions, it's easy to get confused because it's not in our everyday lexicon. But Assad was not a Shia Muslim. He was not a Sunni Muslim. These are the two great families of Islam that typically hate each other. And they've been at war with each other for thousands of years. But the Assad family was never a part of either the Shia or the Sunni Muslims. They were Alawites. Now, the Alawite Muslims do not share a jihadist mentality with any of the other branches of Islam. And by the way, not all of the Sunnis and not all of the Shias are jihadists. You got to understand that. Some are, but most of them are not. But in the Alawite community, none of them were. The Alawites were a peace-loving, to use a Western expression, live and let live people. Every religion in Syria under Assad and his father before him had complete and total religious freedom. That includes Christians, it includes Jews, Shia Muslims, Sunni Muslims, or if you're with something else. Every religious group had the protection of the Assad government to allow them to worship God in the way that they chose to do it, freely and without persecution. Okay. Do I need to repeat that?
No.
You got it.
Yes.
Okay. Now he is gone. And the ISIS, who are the head choppers, they are the jihadist murderers and thugs of the Islamic world, has taken power in Damascus. And guess what? The massacre against Christians in Syria has been horrific.
Amen.
If you have done any research, if you've watched any of the videos coming out of Syria, you know what I'm talking about. Tens of thousands of our Christian brothers and sisters have been brutally tortured and murdered since ISIS took control of Damascus. And when I say torture, I'm not even going to attempt to start to describe what that means. Our brothers and sisters who had lived for all of those years, all of the generations of Syrians, happy, peaceful, living a life of complete peace and lack of tribulation and enjoying, as we do, the fruits of their labor, free to work, free to travel, free to worship, are now being rounded up by terrorist thugs and are being tortured and slaughtered by the thousands. Why haven't you heard that on CNN or Fox News? And our U.S. government is sponsoring the terrorism in Syria. Is sponsoring it. Our tax dollars are sponsoring the deaths of our brothers and sisters in Syria. According to retired Army Colonel Douglas McGregor, Christian women are being bought and sold in open slave markets by the ISIS terrorists in Syria, supported by the U.S. government. Slavery is alive and well now in Syria, and they are targeting Christian families. Christian women bought and sold in open slave markets in 2025 in Damascus, Syria, under the leadership of the ISIS terrorists who are supported by the United States government, and that includes Donald Trump.
Amen.
I'm sorry, don't try to tell me how great of a Christian Donald Trump is. This man is culpable in mass murder.
Yes.
But that's not all. There are other countries around the world that are experiencing great persecution of their Christian populations under the auspices of the United States government. One of those is the African country of Congo. Right now, the Congo is experiencing a genocide as we speak. So this week, I received a letter from a Christian viewer of Liberty Fellowship in Congo, Africa. I saved this letter to read myself during the message. Again, this is from a Christian lady who watches Liberty Fellowship in Congo, Africa. I want you to listen to this letter. Dear Pastor Baldwin, there is a genocide in Congo, and then she gave me the full name of the country, Democratic Republic of the Congo, DRC for short. There is a genocide in Congo. In the last 30 years, more than 16 million Congolese people have been murdered. Now, we've known about that. The great genocides in the 1990s and the early 2000s by the Rwandan government. We've heard about that. But she continues. About 6 weeks ago, okay, now get your timeline here. 6 weeks ago, a major escalation of the conflict occurred in eastern Congo. So Rwanda has invaded Congo again and is again committing genocide. This happened it began in December, a month after Donald Trump was elected. It was the election of Donald Trump that was the impetus for Rwanda re-engaging its military forces of genocide in Congo. I'll say more about that in a minute. The Congolese government communicated the following message to the population. Quote, "We will fight this war on multiple fronts, a military, economic, media, judicial, diplomatic, and spiritual front." Close quote. She goes on. The spiritual front may seem odd to many, but Congolese people grow up knowing that the spirit world is real and take spirituality very seriously. Atheism is an odd concept to the Congolese people. More than 90% of the Congolese population is Christian, including 90%. That's all Christian denominations, obviously, including the current president, who after his inauguration publicly prayed for his nation. Now listen to this, Alan. He based his prayer on 2 Chronicles 7:14. He confessed his sins and the sins of his nation. He asked for forgiveness and asked God to heal the nation. He glorified God's name and submitted Congo to the authority of God. The recent escalation is an aggression orchestrated by Congo's neighboring country, Rwanda, that caused over 10,000 civilian deaths in the space of the last couple of days. 10,000 murdered in 2 days. Like never before, the killings and torture of innocent people are being shared on social media. People are burned alive. Children are being executed. Parents raped in front of their children. And many more atrocities are being exposed. Let me pause here to add this comment. Rwanda receives over $1 billion in U.S. foreign aid annually. International experts agree that Trump's disregard and defiance of international law, i.e. Greenland, "We're going to take over Greenland whether you like it or not, one way or the other." Trump's disregard and defiance of international law, along with his support of Israel's occupation and genocide in Gaza, is a major impetus of Rwanda's genocides in Congo. That is the opinion of international experts around the world. The Rwandans are following the lead of Washington, D.C., led by Donald Trump, which they started their genocide after, about a month after Trump was elected. Back to the letter. Yet the people of Congo put their trust and faith in God. Many prayer rallies have been organized by various churches and by the government on a national level. Can you imagine? The only rallies churches have today is on Super Bowl Sunday. And then they all have a big rally to everybody watch Super Bowl together. These people are having prayer rallies for the protection of their people from an invading alien genocidal army. Congo is a huge nation. I don't know whether you realize it or not. They have over 100 million people in the Congo. Over 100 million people. It's a large nation. She goes on, but Congo is not free of false prophets. No place is. Imagine Catholic priests and Protestant pastors working together for evil. I don't have to imagine it. I see it every day in the United States. We have to deal with that every single day in this country. False prophets are doing more damage to our country than all of the corrupt politicians put together. It gets worse, she says. This same group of false prophets showed their true colors when they were filmed and photographed laughing and having amicable meetings with the terrorists and foreign enemy leaders. No, that doesn't shock me at all. It has always been true throughout history. The devil has used false prophets to assist the political and military forces of Antichrist. It's always been that way. If you take away the religious aspect from those destructive forces, combination of military and political, they wouldn't exist. It is the religious elements that give them the moral cover that they need to tell themselves that what they're doing is of God. We're serving God by killing all these people. Do you remember what Jesus said to the disciples? The time will come when he that killeth thee will sayeth that he doeth God's service. And that's exactly what's going on in Israel. That's exactly what's going on in Rwanda. That's exactly what's going on in Syria. These Antichrist forces are receiving the support morally and spiritually from these false prophets, thus giving them the cover that they need to do this satanic work. In the meantime, she says, true men of God are risking their lives. Had a letter a couple weeks ago from a pastor, bless his heart. My heart went out to him. He knows the truth. He understands the new covenant. But he's been pastoring a church for a period of time. His church, for the most part, is still languishing in the old covenant. Dispensational futurism, Schofieldism, Zionism, all of it. He was asking me, what can I do? I want to tell the truth. What could I tell him? Oh, brother, everything will be fine. Just tell the truth, and they'll love you. So I had to tell him, look, I've been there, done that. I know what it's like to lose everything financially. I know what it's like to lose friends of 30 years or more. I know what it's like to be left with nothing except yourself, your family, and a few friends that understand. I know what that's like. So all I can tell you is, here's what's going to happen. If you tell your congregation the truth of the new covenant and the falsehood of Zionism and Schofieldism, I said you're going to lose about 3/4 of your congregation, or maybe more. They're going to walk out. They're never going to come back. You're going to lose all that income. The pastor friends in your area that you've been friends with for however long you've been there, they're going to turn their back on you. They're going to spread all kinds of falsehoods about you. They're going to call you names. You are going to become the off-scouring of the religious world where you live. And if you're not prepared for that, or you're going to move and you're going to start something from scratch with however many people you can get together, and you're going to teach them the truth, and they will be with you and they'll support you. But I said that it's going to take time, and don't expect a big crowd. That's what you're facing. Either that, or you be quiet and you just go along, swallow your convictions, and then everything will be fine. What else could I say? That's the reality of where we are today. Any man of God in his congregation, I don't care, almost every church in this town, you let Chuck Baldwin get in there and preach for 2 months and see how many people are left. Well, 2 weeks. And see how many people are left. It's going to cost you something to be a man of truth during these days. You're not going to be liked. You're not going to be popular. That's just the way it's going to be. So are you prepared to take the loss? I didn't want to give him any lullaby, false fantasies about what he was up against. I don't know what he's going to do. Maybe he doesn't even know what he's going to do right now. I don't know. I also told him that if he did do that, and if he did lose 3/4 of his congregation, God would be with him and God would meet his needs. And I'm example A on that. God has met our needs after we lost it all. In the meantime, she said, true men of God are risking their lives. They're not just risking their paychecks. They're not just risking their job security or their popularity. They're risking their lives. One such pastor used his pulpit to call out some of the terrorist leaders while they were sitting in his church. They went to his church to intimidate him, to let him know they were there. By the way, don't you love the free stuff you get when you come to Liberty Fellowship? Amen. You saw the gift that Benjamin Netanyahu gave to President Trump when he visited a few weeks ago? A golden pager. Remember the pagers and the cell phones that Israel blew up in Lebanon, killing thousands and thousands and thousands of innocent people. A golden pager. Was that a gift or was that a threat? Was that a reminder? This could happen to you. Be your own judge. One such pastor used his pulpit to call out some of the terrorist leaders while they were sitting in the church. He had been warned they would be present for that particular Sunday. And although he was sick, he insisted on preaching that Sunday. In the message, he said the following. I paraphrase. Quote, I know I am number 14 on your hit list, but if I have to die, I will go to heaven. I'm not afraid of you. You are killing the population, but God will take care of you. Amen. That's what this brave Congolese pastor said with Rwandan terrorists sitting in his own church audience on a Sunday morning. That's courage. Amen. That's what Christians around the world have, that Christians in America, especially the pulpits, have lost. Amen. While we're worried about the offering going about, we got pastors across the world that are standing in the face of armed terrorists and telling them in the name of God, they're not afraid of them, and God is going to take care of them. Would to God that America's pastors could stand up to the politicians of this country the way pastors in Congo are standing up to terrorists in their country. Makes you sick to think about what courage is going on around the world by men of God, why what's happening in this country is so disgustingly anemic, pathetic. These pastors ought to be ashamed of themselves. Wait till they stand shoulder to shoulder next to these kind of men at the judgment seat of Christ and see how, what they have to say then about how courageous they were in America. We can't even say boo to the devil. I didn't make that up. I heard that a long time ago. The root of this conflict, I'm still quoting the letter, is the love, Dr. Andy, you're going to love this. The root of this conflict is the love of uranium, coltan, cobalt, lithium, the critical minerals and rare earth minerals for nuclear military power, modern technology, the age of AI, and the green energy revolution. That's what it's all about. Dear Pastor Baldwin and Liberty Fellowship, can I ask you to join us on the spiritual front line to pray for the victims of war in Congo, to pray with the people of Congo for peace and freedom? It is time for this genocide to stop. From a Wazalinda Congolese patriot, the Congo, Africa. I will not mention her name. So my dear brothers and sisters in this room, and my dear brothers and sisters online, will you please add the Congolese Christians to your prayer list and start praying for them? They are suffering. They're hurting. They're being persecuted, tortured, and killed. They're in the fight for their life. And yet they're standing up with courage and conviction that we saw in the book of Acts. That's the kind of Christianity we see going on around the world in the face of this oppression. Much of it, if not all of it, underwritten by the government of Washington, D.C. Our our text that we read at the beginning of my address, when one member suffer, all members suffer with it. I am convinced that if today's evangelicals had not allowed Zionist Israel to harden their hearts to violence, war, mass murder, and genocide, which released the Antichrist spirit of violence, bloodshed, and war in their hearts, we would not see an unchecked spirit of war, violence, and bloodshed in Washington, D.C. The spirit of war in Washington is many ways the result of the spirit of war in the hearts of evangelicals across America who have adopted Christian Zionism as their faith system. And they're filled with the bloodlust of war in their own hearts. Why should we be surprised when our politicians are filled with the bloodlust of war? When our pastors and churches are filled with the bloodlust of war? Really, what they should do is they should rip out of their Bibles where it says the gospel is the gospel of peace. They'll tear that out. They'll tear that out where it's, Jesus said, I am the Prince of Peace. They'll tear that out. They're not following the Prince of Peace. They're following the Prince of War. They're not preaching the gospel of peace. They're preaching the gospel of war. And they think that somehow or another they're spiritual in doing it. Christian Zionists who still live in the Old Covenant, by the way, often quote the Old Covenant prayer of David. I get this almost every week from critics. They think they're really, that they are THDs, scholars of the Bible. And they send me this verse. The Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Oh, wow, you got me there. Boy, you're so smart. How come I never saw that before? You're right. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Pastor Chuck. Newsflash. Old Covenant Jerusalem that David prayed for does not exist. It's gone forever. It doesn't exist. If you are praying for Jerusalem in the New Covenant, not the Old Covenant, that's abolished by the death of Christ on the cross, if you're praying for Jerusalem in the New Covenant, you are praying for the New Jerusalem, the body of Christ. Amen. Which is the focus of this message. We should be praying for the body of Christ in Palestine, in Syria, in the Congo, in the West Bank, in Gaza, around the world, that are being subjected to some of the most horrific persecutions and genocide, ethnic cleansing, etc., of modern times. The new covenant prayer we need to be praying is found in 1 Thessalonians 5:25, 2 Thessalonians 3:1, and Hebrews 3:18. Here is the new covenant prayer. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's an old covenant prayer. Jerusalem is gone. Here's the new covenant prayer mentioned in the three passages I just listed. Pray for us. That's the new covenant prayer. Pray for us. That is the pastors and the people of the new covenant church. Amen. Pray for us. Now, the Lord willing, next Sunday, and I say Lord willing because things have to come together this week, but the Lord willing, next Sunday, I will deliver the first of four messages. I think four messages. I never really know how many until I start delivering them. But I think this is going to be a four message series. And next Sunday, the Lord willing, I will deliver the first of those four messages. It's a prophecy series, and it's entitled what I told you last week. Here's the title. By what authority does Zionist Israel commit mass murder against women and children? A clinical study of the destruction of the Amalekites and Old Testament warfare. Part one. I'm sick and tired of hearing these evangelicals excuse their bloodlust by saying that the Zionists in Israel are finishing what Moses and Joshua started but didn't finish, and now they're finishing it by killing the rest of the Amalekites. Such utter nonsense from a biblical point of view. This is beyond the pale of biblical misinterpretation, ignorance, stupidity, call it whatever you will. There is no such doctrine in the New Covenant. So that's why I feel the urgency of getting this package preached as soon as possible. So next Sunday, hopefully, Lord willing, number one, by what authority does Zionist Israel commit mass murder against women and children? A clinical study of the destruction of the Amalekites and Old Testament warfare. Exactly what did Jehovah teach the Old Testament Israelites regarding war? We're going to look at it very closely. And you're going to understand when we're done the nonsensical statements that you're hearing from your friends in these evangelical churches that are talking about killing the Amalekites, which is that's what Netanyahu says, that's what Gallant says, that's what all these Zionist warmongers say over there. These people are, they're not people, they're not human, they're subhuman, they're animals. And that's exactly what they are saying about the Palestinian people. And by the way, truth be told, that's what they believe about us. That's what they believe about us. We're subhuman. If they could do it and get by with it, they would do to us what they're doing to the Palestinians tomorrow. They can't do it, but they would if they could, because they believe that we are subhuman. We are animals. So I'm going to take my time, and I'm going to take you through this study. If you're not here next Sunday, you're going to miss a very important message. If you're not here for the next several Sundays, you're going to miss this online. I hope that you'll be watching. Tell the other people you know to join us as well. Lord willing, that will be my message next Sunday. Let's stand for a word of prayer.